This is a Capricorn FM podcast.
Right, it is 7 o'clock here in Progressive Talk, and we are speaking progressively. I did indicate earlier that we will have Saia. We've moved Saia to earlier, just making sure we've got it in for you today. Generally happens on a Wednesday evening at 7, but it's happening tonight between now and 7:30. So let's look at our issues that we're dealing with tonight when we're talking about Saia. And today we're speaking to Nicky Mutiba from Saia, but the issues, as always, we're looking at issues around insurances, South African Insurance Association, that is Saia. But Nicky Mutiba is joining us this evening to look at the issues that we are talking about. Nicky, good evening. Welcome to Progressive Talk.
Thank you, Ngamla, and welcome to your listeners, and thank you for your time as well.
Good evening indeed. So we'll be having this conversation tonight as well, and at the end of it, we have 500 rands airtime vouchers to give away for two listeners. That's 250 rands each, but you can engage with us throughout the conversation. If you have questions that you want to raise, clarity that you want to seek from Nicky as we engage, that is on 0872889697. That's the studio line, and the WhatsApp number 0826542446. At the end, I'll give you a number that should you have carryover questions that you want to raise, and I'll ask Nicky that we share that number, that you can therefore raise the issue there. All right, so this evening, your responsibility as a non-life insurance policy holder. That's what we're talking about, Nicky.
That's exactly what we're talking about. So, yeah, let's hit the ground running, Namla.
Okay. So, go on, yeah.
So, all right. No, I think one thing that we just need to know as people is, if you enter into any contract with anybody else, you have your rights and your responsibilities as well, as much as you will be holding them reliable and they have their rights and responsibilities. So that's where I want to start. Exactly with the same thing with you as a policy holder. So for those who do not know what non-life is, it sounds complicated. It's just short-term insurance. Mm. So life would be the other one where you insure your spouse for funerals and life. Mm. Okay. So non-life is where you insure like your car or your house. So that's short-term insurance, insurance, yeah.
Okay. So policyholders' responsibilities, we're looking at registered insurance companies and brokers. What are we saying there?
All right. So, like I had said to you, remember when you want to take up an insurance, it's because you want to safeguard your assets, so that in case there's damage, in case there's loss, the insurance company will put you back to a state where you were before. So, you know, so they will honor the claim. So now, in order for them to honor the claim, you also have your, like we said, responsibilities. So one of them is make sure that you are dealing. I don't think when I'm not, you'd want to deal with a fly by night, okay?
Yes.
So you deal with your registered brokers, your registered insurance brokers, your registered insurance companies. Now the only way to know is all the insurance companies should be registered with the Financial Sector Conduct Authority. In short, we call it the FSCA. Or some people might say the FISCA, but it's the FSCA. Mm. So their website, I can give it to you, is www.fsca.co.za. Mm-hmm. So you go out there. So each and every company that's an insurance company will have what we call the Financial Services Provider number, which is an FSP number. Mm. So get their name, get their FSP number, go to the website and see if these ones are registered. Okay, I can do business with them.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go.
So maybe the other issue becomes identifying the needs that you want to address by buying an insurance policy.
Remember when we started, we said, you know, when you buy an insurance, you're buying an insurance so that, you know, at a time of loss, the insurance company can help you to be restored to back where you were. Excuse me. So before you buy any insurance company, before you buy any insurance policy, look at your risks. What is it that you want to insure? I cannot insure a car that I do not have. You see? Mm. I cannot insure a house that I do not have. Okay, there are certain rules that come in. Maybe you might have a insurable interest, but for now, let's just say you know you want to insure a certain item, certain goods or certain assets. That's, you identify the need. And of course, you look at, you know, how much risk are you willing to take? The insurance company might say, look, we will insure 90% of it. Will you have the 10%? You know, you want to shop around and know who's in the zoo, you know, identify what your exposures are. You know, do you want to insure your house for vandalism, you know, for fires, for hail damage? Do you want to insure it for break-in? You know, therefore, buy insurance, you know, knowing precisely what is it that you need. Your exposure that it is.
Yes, okay. And it brings us to one very important issue that you generally hear a lot about, the importance of reading a policy document.
Oh, now that is very important.
Yeah.
You know, the FSCA, together with the South African Insurance Association, you know, we're trying to encourage people to read as much as they can. Look, there'll be times where you won't understand. So even with the insurance companies, we usually visit them and indicate to them that, you know, they should put it in such a language that it should be easy for an ordinary person like you and I to read the jargon. You know, maybe we might understand the media language, but we won't necessarily understand the legal jargons. So reading your policy document enables you to ensure that, you know, the product that you've purchased, is it the right product? You know, does it meet your needs? You know, and then what's appearing on your policy? Look, you might not necessarily know all the words that are written, but just check, okay, I'm insuring item number one, I'm happy. There's the color, there's the size, okay. They said the premiums will be 500 rands a month. So you look at the accuracy of each and everything that you can easily identify. Everything else, you go back to them and say, I do not understand if you don't. And what usually happens, they will send it to you within 30 days. So as soon as you've agreed with them on the phone, yes, I'm happy, because sometimes on the call centers can confuse you. You know that, Musnengam.
Yes, yes.
So as soon as they've agreed with you over the phone, when they send you that document within 30 days, no, then don't read it. Read it fully, as much as you can, to see if everything else is correct.
Okay, yeah. All right. And so signing off blank or partially completed forms, what do you say about that?
Yeah, there you go. Let me ask you, if you were to go to any insurance company and they say they give you forms, maybe it's about 4 pages for argument's sake, and they say initial each and every page and sign at the bottom and write the date, or don't even write the date, would you allow them to do that for you?
No. I shouldn't.
You know,
yeah.
You know, you wanna see where they've written your name, where they've written their details, the address, and everything of that sort. And you don't wanna sign blank things. Look, the reason SAIA is doing this is purely for education of our policyholders. You know, through the financial inclusion, because most people went through all of those things, and at the time of the claim, they realize that they didn't sign up for that. If something doesn't smell nice, I mean, I ordered fish, but I'm getting chicken. It's not nice. So don't sign unless you see everything else is filled in accordingly. There you go.
Okay.
The forms are completed. Yeah.
And I wonder if sometimes people attempted to simple sign off thinking it makes the job of filling up forms easy. You just come initial and you leave and you forget that there could be details there. Yeah.
You know what's happening? Most of the time we are living in this world of hurry. And I think COVID-19 helped us somehow, the lockdown, to ease down on ourselves. We are always in a hurry. So they call you to come and sign the form. Just make sure that, just browse them through and see the details are properly filled in. But I mean, if there are sections where you see there are blanks and there are things that were supposed to be filled in, don't. You know?
Yeah.
Because then even your information, you have to give information. So why would they not ask for the information and fill it in while you're right there?
And while talking about information and while you're right there, how important is providing one's true information?
Remember, an insurance company, and now that's a very beautiful question, an insurance company deals with risk. So they look at risk and say, okay, this risk, this exposure, let's see, the premiums will be this much. If this should happen, this is how much we're supposed to pay. So they look at the total risk. Now, if you don't give them, if you don't disclose properly, then you're not allowing the insurance company to measure the risk properly. You might be overinsured. Sometimes you might be underinsured. But at the same time, if if you were to deal with me, Wenangana, as we always do on this beautiful show of yours, and then you start realizing that Nick is giving incorrect information to me, whether it's offline or online, that amount of trust, it's not going to happen anymore, isn't it?
Yes.
And at any moment when I'm supposed to honor my duties, or when you're supposed to honor your duties, you might come at me and say, Nicky, you gave me the impression that we were only buying a portion which is worth so much, but you only find that yours is more expensive and you're expecting me to pay you the expensive one. Hey, you said to me it's 100 rand, I would be paying you 100 rand. So it's very crucial. You know, things like your claims history. You know, they ask you, have you claimed in the past 3 years? Just be honest and say, you know what, I don't really remember, but I remember I once claimed. You know, so therefore it helps. The proper description of the asset. Don't just say, yes, it's a car, it's a white car. You know, they left you know whether it's a sedan, it's a van, it's a, you know, just say it precisely. If you have added 17-inch wheels where it's supposed to be 14-inch, disclose that. You know what I mean? Yeah. So the details of the risk items, you know, the insured item, you know, the security of the vehicle. Does it have a tracker? Does it park under the roof? Or is it a locked yard? If it's a house, do you have butler proofs? Do you have an alarm system? If you don't have, just say it. They won't say, we won't give you insurance, remember? They'll say, okay, your risk is so much, you know. Are you using your vehicle for private use or are you using your vehicle for business? You know, if I have a son who if I have a son who goes to university and once in a while they might want to go and attend a class and I might drive with them, whether I'm with them in the car or not. I must disclose that, yeah, once in a while my son becomes a driver. Then we know, oh, okay, there you go.
All right. Yeah. And so advising the insurance company if there are changes. Sometimes people forget that, and that is very important as well.
Yeah, yeah, it is. It is. Remember when they ask you a previous question, the insurance wants to establish where you've been, where you are, chances are, and where you are heading. You know, it things like your age, your experience or not. So when there are changes, for argument's sake, you move from area A to area B. You know, for ease of reference, let's just say you move from zone 1 to zone 5. You might be thinking it's the same area, but only to find that zone 1 is relatively more dangerous because it's closer to a risky area than zone 5. So by disclosing, you might even find that your premiums are reduced. They look at your risk differently. And if you're moving to a higher risk area, they'll be able to tell you, you know what, your premiums will remain the same, but just be aware that you need to put a certain type of tracking system. You know, if you buy new items, if I insured my house and the contents for 100,000 rand, then now I change my furniture, the cutlery, Madame Leonardo Butler, you know, all these names when they want those, that toaster that has that name, that fridge that has that name. The value of your property or the content changes. So always inform them. And you know, I always make this example, like your code parents. One thing that you can do as an example, once in a while, that spring, have your kids play around. Somebody must count how many cups you have. Somebody must count how many pots you have, how many teaspoons you have. And then you have an itinerary or do you have a list of everything that you have in the house. So that even if there's cutlery or there's fire, you just pull out that list and say, I remember, man, I had 40 cups.
Yeah.
I had 3 food. There you go. So always tell them. And you remember I made an example about your regular driver.
Yes.
Yes. When you are single, you know, you drive alone and once in a while you decide, what's up again? Madam has a license now. I can allow her to drive. You disclose those things.
Okay. And adhering to policy conditions, how important is that?
It is very important because remember it also affects the risk exposure. If they say to you you're driving between midday and midnight, that's your risk exposure. Just like we said earlier on about changes that you make. But at the same time, if you start driving at 2 o'clock, remember you've changed the conditions now. You know, for example, maybe you're not maintaining your car. Right now, we're insuring a car that we know every year will go for testing. Every year, the disc will be paid for. You will maintain your tires. You will maintain the condition of the vehicle as much as you can. Yes, we understand there's wear and tear. You know, a 20-year-old car is no longer as fast or as powerful as a 5-year-old car. but disclose those things and just make sure that you adhere to them. You know, there are certain driver restrictions, for argument's sake, or they might require some security on your car because maybe it's a target, you know. So the reason for it is, by the time you get to the claim stage, we ask you all these other questions, and then we realize that, but you are not really sticking to your end of the deal. And then that's when people say, no, but insurance is bad, Europa. They're taking our money, but when you're supposed to claim, they're not. It's because you didn't play your part. So, but if you play your part, remember, insurances will act accordingly. Remember, they are bound by the conduct. The financial sector, Leon.
During these challenging times, what do you advise those who might be tempted to take a break on their premiums?
First of all, let's sympathize with people who've lost their jobs. Let's sympathize with people who are in a position where they find themselves considering what we call the priorities. Some people would consider insurance as a grudge buy. And I've seen people decide to cancel insurance. I know we're talking premium payment, but let me just make that example. It's very crucial for me. Don't cancel your insurance. I'll tell you the reason why. If your vehicle is worth 300,000 rands and you've already paid 50,000 rands, if anything should happen and it's a total loss, you still owe the bank 250,000. I don't think at these trying times you'll be able to pay 250. Maybe allow the premium to go through so that the insurance can be able to settle it on your behalf, because that's what it's insurance after all. And then with premiums as well, do not just cut the premiums. Speak to your insurance company and speak to your bank as well, so that you don't get those debit order penalties. Some banks might say, or some insurance companies will say to you, you know what, skip this month, and in the following month we will take double the amount. And some might give you a grace period. Usually it's about 15 days if you skip your premiums. It's about 15 days. So again, we'll say, make sure your bank account, remember, we forget these things. You're getting paid on the 20th, now you're getting paid on the 25th. You forget. So just make sure that your funds are always sufficient. You know, somebody was saying to me, maybe the banks don't have money anymore, because when they go to their ATMs, it always says insufficient funds. So I'm not quite sure. Maybe it could be the banks don't have money, you know. Anyway, but make sure you have sufficient funds every time. If you do forget, the following month, just maybe diarize it that, you know, these are the priorities. Because remember, that insurance is your shield, actually.
And so there's another, when you talk about insurance, is another usually asked question in an area that people obviously engage on, issues around the excess. And maybe let's talk about the structure of it.
Okay. So an excess is a portion, so it's part of self-insurance. It's what you pay first before the insurance pays you. So there are two ways you can structure it. You can have no excess at all, so you're paying your premiums in such a way that when the incident occurs, you don't pay any excess. Or you can say, look, I have enough money saved, like I have emergency funds saved on the side. If there's an emergency on my side, an incident occurs, I'll be able to go and dip into my emergency fund and pay the excess. You know, so additional excesses sometimes may apply to policies. You know, they'll say to you, if incident one occurs this way, you will pay an excess of so much. Take, for argument's sake, 2,000 rands, or let's start with a windscreen, 500 rands for a windscreen, for argument's sake. But if incident one happens in a certain manner, you will pay the 500 rands, maybe, and 200 rands penalties. So always be aware. It goes back to the question you asked me about reading your policy document. All right. So yes, excess is very important for me.
All right. We continue talking. You're on Progressive Talk. It's just 19 minutes after 7 o'clock.
Right, we're still talking on Progressive Talk. We're speaking to Nikki Mutiba, and we're looking at all issues insurance, South African Insurance Association talking to us about these issues. So we're just talking about access in a bit, but the other issue that perhaps want to talk about, and we're asking you, should you have questions and areas you want us to clear for you, engage with us on 087-288-9697. That's the studio line, the WhatsApp number 082-654-2446. We can answer your questions and any other areas, grey areas that you may possibly have. We'll be able to clear those and shade those for you. Just 21 minutes after 7 o'clock here on Progressive Talk. Nikki, so one other issue, it's something that perhaps policyholders should be aware of, the policy review or renewal process.
Oh, yes. So this is the point where, because we are short-term insurance, so a policy would be renewed on the anniversary of the policy. If you treat on the 7th of April, they'll probably renew it, you know, on the anniversary. So yearly, they'll review it. There are times when they can change it. So let's say you've had a couple of claims and they realize, you know what, the best thing is to give him a higher access, or maybe you've been behaving properly and they want to give you a reduced access or premium. So, but generally, it's annually. So that's where they look at, are your premiums going to increase or stay the same or reduce? They might change certain terms and conditions. You know, during the lockdown, we didn't expect certain things, and there were certain restrictions. The excess structure. You remember you asked me about the excess?
Yeah.
So they might change those things. So whenever they communicate with you, always be aware. They send you an SMS. You know, sometimes you get an SMS, an email, and whatever correspondence, just read it and see how it affects you. Don't get annoyed. You know, sometimes they might make a mistake and say, your rate is now 7.65. And they realize, you know what, this is a good customer. Let's make it 7.25.
Mm-hmm.
But you would have missed it because you thought, it's only 7.00. But you don't realize how much you've saved. Or it might be a worst-case scenario. You're moving, say, from 7.25 to 7.65. It will affect your monthly balance in the account. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So
those
are some of the things you should be looking at when I'm... So generally, read your policy.
Mm-hmm.
Read your policy book. And then always know you also have responsibility. Don't let it sink into your mind that it's only the insurance company that has responsibility to take care of you. Yeah.
Okay. We've got a listener, Nwaku, wants to engage with us and ask a question. Let's hear what Nwaku has to say. Nwaku, good evening.
Hello, Ngamula. How are you, boss?
Good. How are you?
Sharp. I have just, I think, one or two questions to ask.
Okay.
If I take insurance in it.
Mm.
And then I'm paying my premiums like every month, it's the agreement.
Okay.
And then I'm driving, someone comes, and then maybe they skip the stop sign and they crash my car. Mm-hmm. They eat into my car.
Mm-hmm.
Then I go to claim.
Yeah.
They ask me to pay the access.
Mm-hmm.
And then they then go to the person who hit my car and they claim money from that person.
Mm.
I want to know, is that allowed? And then if it's allowed, why are they taking money from me if it's someone who's going to fix my car when I'm involved in an accident?
Okay, stay on that line. I'm just going to take an ad break and I'll ask you the other question. Yeah. Right. Nwaku, is that the only question you wanted to ask, or you have another one?
The last one is Ndamula.
Yeah.
If I'm having insurance, is it that every year the value of the car goes down?
Okay. Yes.
And then why is the premium not going down with the value of the car?
Okay.
Yeah,
right. Nikki, got those? All should right. I let Nwaku go?
Yes. Yeah, no, it's fine. Let him move. I got the question.
Okay, sure. Thank you, Nwaku. We'll be answering your questions just now. Nikki, how do you respond to that?
Brangwako, relevant questions, and I think those are general questions, frequently asked questions. People are very concerned about insurance. Remember, when you are involved in an accident, as we use it loosely, in a collision, You do have access that you should pay. So what the insurance does is they will go back to the person that hit you and get the access from him, but they will pay you back that access. So you are not allowed to collect the excess yourself to start with. You're not allowed to collect it from the person who hit you. So it's the insurance company's responsibility to collect it on your behalf, and they will definitely pay you back. So Ngako can actually go back to the Financial Conduct Sector Authority and ask them, why did this happen? And they will be able to assist for this.
Okay. The second one?
The second one is saying the value of the vehicle is going down, but he's paying more premium.
Yeah, the premium doesn't...
Yeah, the risks are different as well. That's one thing that we always encourage people, especially as I hear that, always go back to your insurance company maybe after a year to renewal and say, but you know, my car is no more valued at 200,000 for argument's sake. It has now reduced 208. Why am I paying the same premium? Because remember, with insurance, the premiums that they give you at the beginning, insurance works like this. We are a society that puts money into a kitty so that when something happens to you, the society or the community helps you. So your premiums are divided over the full length of the period that you're going to be paying or that you're going to be owning the car. So sometimes they start you at lower premiums so that as they go up, they'll be able to recover as well. And sometimes it also depends on how many times you've claimed. Remember, we spoke about the risks and all of that.
Yeah.
But you always have the right to inquire. Hey, but going to what's happening, my car is now lower value, but my premiums are higher value, and then they'll tell you
okay.
why.
Okay. All right. Now, I hear you. All right. And let's, in the next few minutes now, and in this 3 minutes, let's allow our listeners who wants to win airtime to call us and claim this airtime vouchers that we have. So you can call us and win and have an opportunity to win the airtime on 087-288-9697. That is 087-288-9697. We're giving away the airtime. And so, yeah, you can call us between now and in the next 2 minutes. I saw another question on WhatsApp as we're taking calls on the airtime.
Yeah.
This says, my wife bought a car with APSA. The car is owing 150,000 rand. Now they say I must pay cash, and as much as I'm married in community of property, they say I can't continue paying. My option is to pay cash because she didn't have credit indemnity and insurance can't settle.
Oh, okay. You see, now that's a different scenario. That's an arrangement between the bank and the credit that they extended to him.
Okay.
I'm not quite sure of the condition of the credit extension. If probably there were any missed payments, and maybe they think he might be high risk.
Mm-hmm.
But generally, if you sit down with the financial institutions, they are generally quick to understand. They'll give you certain terms and conditions.
Mm.
But I would encourage you to actually sit down with them and indicate with them that his affordability, disposable income, and all of those lovely things that the bank looks for. If he can afford, they will require the whole 150. If he can afford, I'm sure they'll come to an arrangement. Yeah, most financial institutions are usually assisting in that regard, yes.
Okay, let's take a call from Harry in Mpumalanga. Harry, good evening. Harry?
Yes.
Hi.
Good evening.
Good evening. You want to... I'm very great, thank you. You want to attempt winning the airtime?
I want to try my best.
Okay, sure. Nikki has your questions. Nikki?
Brian, Harry, one quick question. When do I pay an excess? You spoke about an excess. When do we pay?
Excess. You pay excess when you are involved in an accident.
All right. I think what I want to know specifically is, when do you pay it? At the beginning? Do you pay it at the end? Do you know, if you remember, if you're listening properly?
No, you pay just before the processes begin.
Aha, there you go. I think he's more precise. Ngamla?
Yeah.
I'm sure you can get his numbers.
Okay,
and, sure. And then you can take it from there.
All right, thank you, Eddie. You've won the airtime. My producer will get your details, and you should be able to get your airtime. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Yes, appreciate that. So there's Harry there. There's one other call that I saw. If we can quickly rush to that one before we go and see if we can give away that airtime there. If, if we don't get their name there, we can just put them through and we'll quickly sort that out. I saw one or two calls flicking there. I'm just thinking, let's give away this airtime before we go. Just one more listener there. that we should give this airtime to as soon as we process that line. But yeah, generally, very interesting conversation that we had, Nikki, and the issues that we're covering today. Very, very, very helpful issues for our listeners, Nikki.
And I think, you know, I also thank you. I mean, we thank you actually for allowing us to teach people. If we don't talk about these things, we don't teach each other about these things. It should be normal to have these conversations. It should be so normal that our people can always go back to the financial institutions and say, hey, I'm struggling with this. Oh, I saw this, but the other company does it. So it should be an easier conversation to have.
All right, Nikki. I see
somebody else. You want to give money?
I see there is. I thought there was someone. I see no. Is there? Is there someone?
All right.
Okay. The screens are not showing me the same things. See, my screen is blank. All right. That one is. Let me see. Who is that? That's Kenny. There's Kenny. Hi, Kenny. Kenny.
Hello?
Hi, Kenny. Hello. We just go away and ask you the question. Nikki, as your question, Nikki.
Hi, bro, Kenny.
Hi, Nikki.
Okay, my question is, if you have a car and then you move houses, let's say you are staying in another area and now you move and go and stay in another area, do you think it's important to tell your insurance company?
Yes, it is important.
Is there any reason why you think, from how you were listening to us?
Because if I was staying in zone 1, moving to zone 2, the risk of zone 1 and zone 2 are not the same.
Thank you ever so much, Ngamla. Thank you ever so much, Saya. We thank you. We shall talk pretty soon.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Nikki. And thank you very much, Kenny. You've won yourself 250 rands airtime voucher. My producer will take your details and should get back to you and get you airtime. Thank you. Appreciate it.
That was a Capricorn FM podcast. For more podcasts, visit capricornfm.co.za.